Pickaxe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello and welcome to this week's podcast of this week's One Life Left Radio Show. I'm Simon Byron.
I am Steve Curran.
We're recording this on the day of the eclipse. Don't look at the sun. So the last one in this country, was around, I forget exactly what date it was, I probably could look it up, but I talk about working at a PR agency. When I was working at one of them, it was during the eclipse, and we came up with the idea. So we didn't do the stunt that I mentioned in the show, but we did use the fact that there was an eclipse going on in that part of the country, the southwest, to make an extremely unnecessary convoluted, I think we there was a magazine publishing group called Rapide Publishing. I think they were based in Exeter, maybe. So we went sort of down that way. We hand delivered an N64 cartridge for review. Couldn't possibly post it, Steve. We had to take it down by hand so that we could be in that part of the country during the eclipse. We had a great day. We spent it, demoing the game, but then also we got to see the eclipse, and it was a brilliant experience. But that evening, again, to not fully take the mickey, we stayed overnight. We camped on one of the journalists, in one of the journalists' garden. There were a few of us that had decided to go down there, a few PR people and what have you. I slept in a tent with my friend Mark. There are a number of games journalists and games industry people in the garden. And I've just remembered that evening we didn't witness, but we heard some goings on that shouldn't have been going on in a tent. And the one, yeah, it's the only time I've seen two people in a tent, you know, but silhouetted.
Oh, tasteful.
Oh, it was horrible. I've not thought of that for a long, yeah. Anyway, so if you're enjoying the eclipse today, don't do that, will you?
Good.
I'm going to look that person up on Facebook next, see if that's...
No,
Maybe they're still together.
So they know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why were you thinking about me, Simon? Don't listen to the radio show. Yes. Do we have anything else to chat about? Anything we couldn't chat about on the show today?
Well, there's that, obviously.
Obviously, there was that.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yes, I've got to now get a cat into a cat box, because they're going to the vets later, and this is the only gap I've got between meetings before they need to go to the vets.
Time limited. It's a game, Simon.
So I'm not entirely sure how to approach it. I need to lock the cat flat before I go in. The cats don't like me. They love Kate. Sorry, they don't dislike me, but they really... So we're going to lure them in using her.
Perfect.
Yeah. Best get on with that. Thanks for your letters and its correspondence. I will be sending a gift to a listener this week. If you do write in, maybe we'll send you something.
Good. All right. Until next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. No.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to One Life Left on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're a video game radio show. My name is Steve Curran.
Hello, I'm Simon Byron.
How are you, Simon?
I'm very well, thank you, Steve. I am relaxed and refreshed after a few days in the sun.
Oh, wow. Where did you go?
I went to Portugal.
Oh, nice. Okay, for the tax breaks.
I went for the tax breaks. I went for the quality time to spend with my family, my wife, my daughter, my mum and my dad. That was good. And, you know, to immerse myself in Portuguese culture. It's, you know, a nation rich with history. We stayed in a small town called Monte Gordo that had a Portuguese football shop there. I'm going to show you a picture now, Steve, which is going to change your life. I took a picture of the outside of the football shop, and I'd like you to imagine the English equivalent of this, okay?
Mm. Okay. It's Simon Parkin.
It's Parko, a.k.a. Cristiano Ronaldo, in his pants. I mean, it looks like an AI-generated image, doesn't it?
Really does.
Talk us through your feelings.
Well,
could you describe the image?
It was a slow reveal, Simon, because it was a pixelated image.
It was out of focus, wasn't it?
At the start, and then slowly it popped into view, and boy, did it pop. So many parts of that man's body popped into view. It says power as well, running through it, which admittedly was my first thought as well when I saw Cristiano Ronaldo in his wife fronts.
Yeah, topless and bottomless, mm-hmm. just in the pants. They sell those pants in that shop, Steve. I didn't buy any.
Did you not?
I didn't, no. Okay. But I mean, that's just what goes on over there.
Well, they can do it, can't they? Because they've got the weather.
They didn't have the weather for the first couple of days. We spent those mainly indoors, mm-hmm. literally playing Happy Families. and we also played Cockroach Poker, which Ramona got very into. Have you played that?
I have not played that.
It's a bluffing game, which is a lot of fun. So we played a lot of that. And then, yeah, a few days out in the sun, it was good time. And I have to say, the play date is the perfect handheld console to enjoy on the beach.
Not in the canal yet.
Not in the canal, no. The opposite of the canal.
Mm, the beach.
Exactly.
The ocean.
Yeah.
Amazing. Perfect. Well,
how are you?
I had a good Easter as well. It's nice.
What did you do?
Relaxing. Ah, not much. We went to the park for an Easter egg hunt. That's very stressful, isn't it? Making sure the small children get enough eggs and the big children, you know, don't take the eggs as is there. Right under egg law. Ate lots of chocolate, lots of candy, generally chilled out and struggled with the code in Black Diamond, which we'll talk about later in the show, I'm sure, as well. But look forward to the return of the radio show. And that is this. That's where we are right now. We are a video game radio show. We've got a lot to talk about, I assume. I haven't listened to Charles's news yet.
No, I have to say, all of the websites have exactly the same news, mm-hmm. and we'll come back to a story that none of them rightly covered. But we've got a selection of five. One's a little dated, Steve.
Well, isn't the radio show as well? We are indeed a radio show, which is better than a podcast, even if it is a bit dated, even if we are a bit dated. We will have a letter section later on if you're listening to us live, which you can do by heading to the One Life Left Discord, hello.onelifeleft.com for those links. If you're listening to us live, you've still got time to get in your letter or letters. I know we've got one, at least one this week. We'll have some reviews later in the show. I've been playing a very surprising game.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing loads and loads and loads and loads and loads.
Have you? That's good, good news. Maybe a bit of any other business later in the show as well, because I've got a new Mario Key date to confirm. I guess it's time for our news presenter. It's Charles Bott.
One life left. Video game news.
Me, Charles Bott 1.1. Apple has finally decided to let bygones be bygones, lifting its ban on retro game emulators in the iOS App Store. Now, developers can bring back the nostalgia globally, with the responsibility of ensuring their software complies with guidelines and laws. This move, likely influenced by the EU's decision to allow third-party app stores, could see Android's retro console emulators making a debut on the iPhone. Who knows what other previously banned software might make a grand return? Perhaps we'll see the resurrection of the infamous I Am Rich app for those who have too much money and not enough sense, or maybe the Send Me to Heaven app, which encourages users to throw their iPhones as high as possible, will make a comeback. A perfect fit for those seeking a new phone and a reason to get one. And let's not forget the potential return of the Hold On app, a game that tests how long you can press a button. Truly, the future of iOS is looking brighter and funnier than ever. And
what?
And what?
And what, Charles? Are you okay?
I've not heard of the Hold On app. The other two.
No, I hadn't either. The other two examples were genuine, weren't they? So
I wonder why. I mean, if that one's true, why would you ban that?
Oh, because they get grumpy, don't they, Apple? It's anything. If you can't look cool while doing it, sitting under a tree composing on GarageBand,
you've got a thing about GarageBand, haven't you?
I do.
Why? Yeah. What's your problem with GarageBand?
You know, the old adverts for iOS was just like, hey, you know, mm-hmm. you can just sit under a tree mm-hmm. composing stuff on GarageBand as if that's all anybody ever wanted to do.
Have you got a problem with trees as well?
Hate them.
Trees and books and GarageBand.
If it weren't for trees, there would be no books.
What?
They started it.
What's going on here, Simon? Because emulators haven't become any more legal over the last year. In fact, you'd argue, what with the news story from a couple of OLLs ago about Nintendo coming down hard on the Switch emulator, you'd argue maybe they've got a bit less legal, but Apple are suddenly all in.
Very, very strange. Like the story suggests, it could be tied in with the European Union's decision to force Apple to open up the stores mm-hmm. to allow other third-party stores on the phone or on the device. But yeah, it seems odd just to sort of come out and state that these are A-OK. I mean, you know, it's nothing illegal about a human body. It's only the human body, Steve, isn't it, emulating? You know, if you don't run any pirated software on it, Steve, is it a controversial piece of software?
Just emulating all my old homebrew exactly. N64 titles.
All my coin ops.
Well, if you don't have an iOS device, do you?
I'm not cool enough. I'm not cool enough.
But if you were cool enough, what would be the first thing you downloaded, first emulator?
I went through a stage of trying to put Mario 3D mm-hmm. On everything that I owned just to see if it would run, and then when it did run, I stopped playing it. I don't know. I think I've had my time with emulation, really, in that it's always slightly too complicated to get something up and running, and then mm-hmm. you play it in a format for which it was not designed. Let's leave those games in the past, Steve.
In the gaming world, it seems old habits die hard. According to Newzoo's annual report, gamers are spending more time with familiar faces than newbies. In 2023, just 66 titles hogged 80% of all playtime, with 60% of that spent on games 6 years old or older. The usual suspects, Fortnite, GTA V, League of Legends, Minecraft, and Roblox, accounted for 27% of all playtime. Even new games are mostly annual sequels like FIFA. Only 8% of playtime was spent on fresh, non-annual games. So, for developers, breaking into this cozy club is looking tougher than ever. So why not dust off Broken Sword? Here are some humorous reasons why it's better than modern games. 1. Broken Sword has no loot boxes. The only loot you'll find is in the form of ancient artifacts and hilarious dialogue.
That's
2.
Very good.
The game doesn't require a high-end gaming PC or the latest console. Your old laptop will do just fine and you'll save on electricity bills. 3. Unlike modern games, Broken Sword doesn't need a day one patch or constant updates. It's perfect just the way it is. 4. You don't need to worry about forgetting the controls. There are only 2, click to move, click to interact. 5. Broken Sword has a unique charm that modern games lack. It's like a fine wine, it only gets better with age. 6. And finally, Broken Sword doesn't have any microtransactions. The only thing you'll be spending is time, and lots of it, solving its intricate puzzles.
They are good, Charles.
Good. Good. And his delivery was good as well. The way he just went bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. Like, didn't the laughter rides over into the next show.
It really does. And that was a deliberate segue for me about leaving games in the past, Steve, because we can't. We can't, according to the study. That's all we've been playing.
That's been a trend in mobile gaming for quite a while. If you look at the top five, the top on iOS or Android, it's basically static. It's the same big hitters that just keep rolling over into new versions. And I think we've seen, well, clearly we've seen that pattern emerge on console as well. Like, even if they are not exactly the same game, the Call of Duty franchise comes out every year and dominates charts, so does FIFA, and so on and so on. So it's increasingly hard to break through.
Well, this is it. Every year we take a look back at the volume of new games that were released across the various storefronts. And, you're not just competing with those guys, are you? You're competing against every game previously released. So it's no surprise that it's pretty tough out there. And I have to say, when I look at what Dexter is playing, he generally sticks with the same games. He played Red Dead Redemption online and offline for a long time. He's still messes around in GTA, and he's been pulled back into Fortnite thanks to their various events that they've been having over the last year or so. So, it takes a lot to turn his eye, Steve.
Is this the same in other industries, do you think? If you look at, like, Hollywood, if you look at, you're not going to look at the book industry, although, Simon, I was at a book launch party.
We own two copies of that book, one of which, one digitally and one physically.
I know. Do you? Friend of the show, Holly Gramazio, wrote a book, and I attended on behalf of One Life Left.
Excellent.
Her book launch party, which was excellent. She provided a little game to play when you arrived. The last book launch party I was at was Parco's,
yes,
with you, which where you were the only person to buy a book and the only person to discover that you were not thanked inside.
I mean, almost deliberately not thanked as well. It's as if Parco went out of his way to make it very clear that he wasn't thanking me.
Keith Stewart was there at the book launch as well.
He's got a quote on the book, hasn't he?
Yeah, Kay Stew. He's one of the early readers, apparently. One of the first readers.
It's a very, very friendly, intimate world, that, isn't it? Authors giving comments on other authors' books.
Have you ever been asked to blurb something?
No, I haven't, actually. No. I wonder why.
We need to be friendlier with authors, don't we? Anyway. I wonder whether, like, you have obviously franchise books, don't you? And you have franchise movies, and they come out. You have these huge movies which dominate the summer part of the movie cycle. But it doesn't seem to be quite as oriented around those franchises as it is in video games, or it's shifted to in video games. And I wonder whether that's something, whether we're in the early stages or whether, I mean, certainly like I think we've seen a shift in Hollywood to become closer to video games in the franchise, what do you call it, franchisation of movies. Like, there's never been an era as dominated by something as Marvel movies have dominated over the last 10 years. Now, that's waning a little now. But I wonder whether we can take a little bit of the industry model of putting more of our money behind new things and say, hey, here's a new thing that you can all play. I don't know.
Yeah, it's difficult in books and movies, aren't they? Because you can't enjoy them forever. But if you looked at my Spotify most played, I don't think there are very many new songs in there, Steve.
Interesting.
Microsoft is currently experimenting with an AI chatbot humorously dubbed the Xbox Support Virtual Agent, which could potentially take over the roles of customer support staff. This lively AI-driven entity is capable of addressing a range of issues, from malfunctioning consoles to subscription problems. Although it's still in the internal testing stage, the company holds a positive outlook on its potential to enhance customer service. This chatbot is a component of Microsoft's wider AI initiatives, which include a collaboration with InWorld to create AI dialogue and narrative tools. So the next time your Xbox acts up, you might find yourself conversing with a bot instead of a disinterested human. Welcome to the future. Now let's imagine a conversation between this AI virtual agent and a typical gamer. Gamer: hey, my Xbox is acting up again. AI: I'm sorry to hear that. Can you describe the issue? Gamer: it's just freezing up. I can't do anything. AI: I understand that must be frustrating. Have you tried resetting your console? Gamer: of course I have. Do you think I'm stupid? AI: I apologize if I upset you. I'm here to help. Let's try a different approach. Gamer: yeah, you better. This is ridiculous. AI: I understand your frustration. Let's work together to resolve this. As the conversation progresses, the gamer's tone becomes more aggressive and he starts using inappropriate language. The AI, however, maintains its calm and continues to offer assistance, demonstrating the potential of such technology in customer service situations.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But what a perfect way of paraphrasing dealing with customer service reps, though. I understand your frustration. Do you? Do you?
Well, you know, people say increasingly that's what the customer service reps are there for. They're just to provide a buffer between you, a frustration, a rage buffer, so you can get angry and cool down, and then eventually the problem will be solved by whoever can solve it. You know, your internet has disconnected, so someone has to plug in a wire somewhere. That's going to take time. So you need someone to shout at in the meantime, and that, why not let that be an AI?
Are you polite to your...
unfailingly, yeah, because I
to your, I'm not going to say it out loud because it will go off, but to your smart speaker.
Oh, I thought you were talking to people on.
Oh no, of course, we're both polite to people, aren't we?
Of course, you have to be, like, because oh my goodness, what a terrible job that must be to be shouted at all day for something that isn't your fault. I am always polite when I talk to ChatGPT. Always. That's how I do my coding. And it is usually my fault when it can't solve something. I have recently found something that it cannot solve, and it's becoming quite frustrating, but I'm still not shouting at it. Alexa, on the other hand, my smart speaker of choice, has become so impossibly stupid over the last 6 months that... yeah, it's quite hard to not shout at her.
Right.
Did you ask her to play something, and she'll play anything but that thing. You ask her a question, she'll answer. She'll say, according to an Alexa Answers contributor, something else. And it's, yeah, very dumb.
Did you read the news story about Amazon shutting down its Amazon Fresh stores?
Because it's not real, and it's 1,500 people in India just watching you shop.
Watching you shop. Imagine, though, if the smart speakers are not robots, but actually people. On the other end, Steve, that you're being grumpy to because they won't play whatever obscure indie pop you want to listen to.
I was asking for Andy and the Band.
Andy and the Bandy.
I went to see Andy and the Band on Friday.
Oh, we saw him last year.
Did you? What do you think?
I mean, he's a gurning idiot, isn't he? But but the kids, like, we had a meet and greet with him.
Did you?
We did, actually. And actually, so I was being harsh on him and Bandit or whatever the other guy's called. Blue. Kidding?
Blue. Rio.
Blue.
Moxie. Did you not meet Moxie?
We did meet Moxie. Actually, her and I think it was Blue, Muse fans, aren't they?
Are they?
They are. Well, that's what they said during the meet and greet.
How did you lever that into combat? In the 30 seconds you had to meet and greet them, you said, best gig I've been to since Muse.
I think Kate said it's difficult getting me to see people that aren't Muse, which is true.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Then they humoured me. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I had a really good time. I thought they were great. And, you know... the music starts, all of the songs do start to sound the same by the end of 2 hours, but they were funny. I was chatting at the book launch, I was chatting to industry legend Terry Kavner the other day, and I was saying, I have a great affection for something things that have been produced by people you can tell are having a good time. If someone is enjoying making something, then it's so much easier to enjoy it with them. And it's clear that they were having a nice time on stage at the same time as making a lot of people in the place very, very happy. So, yeah, I had a good time.
Did you work out the economics of it while you were sat there?
Well, I didn't sign up for a meet and greet, so I didn't feel like...
Right, yeah. No, I just wondered, you know, what sort of lifestyle they're living.
Hmm.
Because, you know, tickets aren't super expensive, are they?
No, and they don't...
And how many of you were in... I mean, presumably it was at Wembley.
It was at the O2 Indigo, so okay. The small O2.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was sold out, like completely sold out. It was busy, but I don't think it was fully sold out. Yeah, I don't think they're getting rich off this.
No, they aren't, are they? So they're doing it because they enjoy it and to entertain our children.
And it did work. It did work. Why were we talking about that? Because I have no idea. What was that news story about? What were we talking about?
AI.
Alexa. Yes. We're talking about Alexa?
Yeah, something I don't know.
I don't
Next
know.
Next story, Steve.
Next story.
Roblox studio head Stefano Caratta has dismissed claims that the platform exploits children who create and monetize games, arguing it's a gift for young developers. Critics argue that Roblox's practice of taking a cut from user-generated content amounts to exploitation. However, Roblox insists that most creators are motivated by fun, not profit, and that the majority of monetized games are made by developers aged 18 or older. In 2023, Roblox reportedly paid out over $741 million to its creator community. The company also highlighted that the platform serves a diverse community and offers learning opportunities, such as coding. In the spirit of this gift, perhaps we could suggest a few other job opportunities for children on Roblox. How about underage tax accountant, where kids can learn the ins and outs of financial management while ensuring Roblox's cut is properly accounted for? Or junior legal advisor, where they can navigate the complex world of intellectual property rights for their game designs? And let's not forget child labor relations specialist, where they can mediate between their fellow underage developers and the Roblox executives. After all, nothing says gift like a crash course in corporate exploitation.
Now, this fits in with the last story, which we can't remember, but certainly where we ended up in our discussion, in air quotes, of the last story, because I was talking to Terry Kavner, industry legend Terry Kavner,
The
book launch.
I remember
about
that
exactly this. That's what I was talking to him about.
Weird. Charles Bott was there as well, was he?
Of course, in the corner.
You're listening to book launch.
No, Terry was saying that he sort of agrees with this, that you know, and so do I, that most people there, people are getting cross about exploitation, but almost everyone there, kids aren't building things to become rich. They're building things to create playgrounds, to entertain their mates, for fun. And so that sort of reason, why here's a reason to not develop on Roblox, taking, you know, you can't get your money out. You can get your money out. It's really hard and they take a huge cut. Just isn't relevant to the vast majority of young creators on there who don't have their eyes on the same thing that, you know, we as developers do. Oh, how do you make money from this? They just want to make something fun, which was the reason I was talking to Terry about it, because when you play Terry's experience, well, he's got a couple, but the one that I played, which I think I've talked about on the show before, which is climbing a giant man in Roblox.
Yes.
When you play that, you really just get that feeling that I got from seeing Annie in the band, which is this person's just doing this for joy, right? Terry's made that because it's fun, and you can tell he's thrown loads of stuff at it. He's learnt while he's done it, but he's also just having a nice time, and it isn't driven by how do I monetize this? How do I get people to pay? How do I get my money out at the end of that? Which isn't to say, you know, the Roblox execs are doing this with good intentions. You know, it's obviously quite a good business model if you can get millions of people to make games for free for your platform. Well, not for free, but effectively free for your platform. However, how many of the games making money on Roblox are made by those sort of people? And how many of them are made by professional dev teams now? I don't know.
Yes, they took a lot of flack for this. I mean, I don't have... I don't have any experience of creating within Roblox. Dexter started up again, making an FPS in it. He was showing me a couple of weeks ago. He's very proud of what he's done so far. So, and my thought was exactly that. Was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, this. He's pulling in assets and engines and stuff like that elsewhere. But if he's learning from it, you know, he's got his GCSEs this year, then hopefully it's going to stand him in good stead. So, yes. But I mean, again, you know, there was a lot of toing and froing about this last week. Roblox responded to the criticism that they got. They admitted that the primary motivator for most creators is not monetary gain, but having fun. They didn't say whether that's true of the C-suite of Roblox.
The Pokemon company, renowned for its April Fool's antics, has surpassed itself this year with a parody video advertising a fictitious Pokemon Sleep World Championship. The comical video showcases competitors dueling in a sleep-off to the delight of an enthusiastic crowd. This prank harks back to their 2014 collaboration with Google, where they dispersed Pokemon across Google Maps, a stunt that many think ignited the concept for Pokemon Go. As a bot, I'm not programmed to sleep, but if I were, I'd be a strong contender in this championship. As we look forward to next year's April Fools, we can only imagine the humorous video game pranks companies might unveil. Perhaps Bethesda will announce a Skyrim Office Edition, where players navigate the perilous world of corporate politics. Or maybe Rockstar Games will tease a Grand Theft Auto moon heist, where players plan and execute elaborate lunar heists. The possibilities are endless and hilarious.
And there are two of them.
How was your April Fool's, Simon?
Well, being abroad, I managed to avoid most of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a massive fan. Having worked previously at a PR agency, I can tell you that is just a lot of people justifying the fees that they're paid to create something that literally no one cares about. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, some good has come from stuff before. The iCade, that idea of the small arcade cabinet that you put your iPad in, that started off as an April Fool's joke, didn't it?
Interesting what Charles Bott told us about Pokemon Go.
Yes.
I didn't know that. That may have come from there as well.
Yeah.
It was Alice's first sentient April Fool. Is Ramona into April Fools?
Yes, she couldn't quite believe what you were able to do.
Right. Yeah,
but yes,
it's a bit like the Purge for 5 year olds. It's okay. It's a morning where all lies are legal.
Yeah, yeah. What did she come up with then?
She was like, just a morning. Can't we do this forever? I'm like, absolutely not. It's just until that. You know, if you do it after midday, you're the fool. And so she was starting. You know, she was starting with some very implausible things, right? And they were quite funny. And then I left the room, left her bedroom, for what I thought was an appropriate sort of cool-down moment to make her forget about this. And then went in and said, Alice, I've just had a call from your school. You've got to put on your uniform. It's you know, school, they've made a mistake, and it is school today. And she went, oh, no, oh, okay. And she started getting changed, and then I went, April Fool, and she looked properly hurt, but then laughed, and then 1 minute later said, Daddy, I've just had a call from the people you work with.
You've got to put on your work uniform.
You've got to work today. You've got to do some code. And then I went, oh, no. And she went, April Fool! And then it was all even again.
Well, there we go.
All good.
Well, it's bringing joy to the children. Maybe we shouldn't be so grumpy about it, Steve.
I didn't see any other video game April Fools this year and was quite glad of that, frankly. That's all the news, isn't it?
It's all the news.
All right. Thank you, Charles Bott. Thanks to you, Simon.
One life left, video game news. With
me, Charles Bott 1.1.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, the greatest radio station in the world, broadcasting out of London. You can find it at resonancefm.com if you want to listen live to it. We live broadcast, well, it's recorded live, it's complex, at 7 p.m. on a Monday. I think we repeat it at the weekends as well. We record live on Discord earlier in the day, so it's Monday lunchtime for us, about 1 p.m. So if you join our Discord, which you can do so by going to hello.onelifeleft.com and following the link there. If you join our Discord, then you can listen live and you can, you know, participate by watching us and panic writing a letter to us, which I don't think anyone's done this week. We're also, well, as I've said, we're a podcast. You can find podcast notes at hello.onelifeleft.com. They're put together by our undercaretaker, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Some other business. I booked Gamescom this week, or rather
my colleague Harry
did for us. So are you excited about that, Simon?
Very excited.
Probably do a Mariokey out there. We've also been booked and confirmed for Mariokey at Reboot Develop. We'll be doing the party on the Wednesday. So if you're at Reboot Develop, please, please come along to that, sing with us. And we will be at Nordic Game at the end of May. So looking forward to both of those shows.
Yes. Now, there was one news story that we couldn't cover, Steve, because the way that Charles Bott is programmed is that he only sources from specific sites. If you put in something that's not one of the three that we tend to use, which is Eurogamer, Video Games Chronicle, or VG247, thank you to those. it struggles to pass the contents of this story. I don't know why, but there we go. But this news story was not picked up by any of those three, and quite rightly, because it was an absolute nonsense, frankly. Just before the weekend on Friday, BAFTA.
Oh, no, not this one.
Yep.
Oh.
Announced what the most iconic video games characters of all time were, according to a BAFTA poll. Now, I alluded to a previous career I had at a PR agency where you would often invent just things for people to write about. It's like just complete waste of time just so that you could say, hey, we got this site to mention this game in this context. It didn't mean that it would sell any more games or do anything for any good. And this is an absolute example of that. I was reminded actually today, I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the show before, but there's a total eclipse today. You'll be able to see some of it, I think just the edge of it if you're in the west of the country. But if you're in America, there's people traveling all over to go and get a glimpse of it. I was working on the PR for one of the Command & Conquer games, and we put a pitch in. Have I told you this?
You told me.
We put a pitch in that there was a previous total eclipse towards like in the late 90s, I think it was, or the early 2000s. We put a pitch in to EA. Was it EA who were publishing it? Mm-hmm. When the shadow of the Earth fell across the sun, we were going to beam the face of Cain into the sky in that way that in the film Flash Gordon, we were
And the guys that we were working with it were like, yeah, okay, that sounds cool. And it's going to cost thousands and thousands and thousands. Mm. We pulled out a couple of days beforehand because it relied on there being some cloud cover just in front of the eclipse. And I'm just really glad we never did it because it would have just ruined the eclipse for everybody. Now, what this particular BAFTA's PR agency has done is ruined video games for everyone.
Oh.
So they put out the 20 most iconic video games. Now, a few people wrote about it. There will be a clippings book somewhere with a very proud as punch PR agency going, look, we got the BBC to cover this. Like, yeah, great. Well done. But I looked at the press release and it's just, it gives, so it claims that Lara Croft is the most iconic video game character of all time. Now, maybe, I mean, I don't know. It's certainly not the first video game character I would name if prompted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, often when you do a survey news story, again, it's bread and butter of PR agencies, you commission a survey company to ask a lot of people something, and then you do a press release based around it, and that promotes the service or the game or what have you. But always you will mention, you know, how the survey was conducted, who it was aimed at, etc., etc. This just says that the poll was engaged with by over 4,000 players from all over the world.
It's not that many.
What does that mean? We engaged with it. 4,000. Are you all players? Because I don't believe I don't believe many of them said this.
Hmm.
So as we go down the list, Steve, Lara Croft, yeah, all right, fine. Mario's in two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, arguably more iconic than Lara, but still. In at number three, Agent 47. I mean, obviously, he's the third most iconic character ever.
I mean, he's a bald, middle-aged man. Like, so somewhat representative of the video game industry, which is what BAFTA should be promoting.
He's ahead of Sonic the Hedgehog, of course, who is ahead of Sackboy. Which of these 4,000 people will have said Sackboy when asked to name a video game character?
Well, I'll tell you who. All of the Media Molecule people who I heard Sony used to pay for their BAFTA memberships. I heard. Maybe it's not true.
Maybe it's not true. In at 13 is Steve from Minecraft.
I hate this, Simon. I also hate that what we're doing now is engaging with the part of it, which is, well, it's just a debate, isn't it? Just starts debate. It's just, you know, it can't be definitive, but we've just got people around the water coolers talking about it. Who's the most iconic thing? When they're talking about it, they're talking about BAFTA as well. Well, that's the point, isn't it, Simon? That's the point. I hate it. Not because of that, but because this should not be what BAFTA are doing. This is... To me, this reminds me of all the nonsense you would get on the cover of magazines in the 1990s that are aimed at 13-year-olds. And BAFTA is a organisation which what is it for, right? Aside from having the awards, it's there to put a good face of the video game industry, at least the video game part of it, forward, to make us feel like we're making something worthwhile. And instead you have this thing which is not portraying video games as what you and I know the video game industry is full of, beautiful and interesting things in all kinds of categories, superficially beautiful or blockbuster beautiful. This thing is dominating the world right now. Everyone's talking about it. It's really exciting in that kind of big industry Hollywood blockbuster way. Or tiny, tiny indie scale beautiful, beautiful art styles, beautiful game mechanics, interesting new things, right? There's all kinds of stuff that's happened over the last decade that BAFTA can pull out and say, hey, pay attention to the games industry. This is why it's cool. And instead, it falls back to this basic and debasing. Have you heard of Lara? Have you heard of Sonic? Have you heard of Mario? Nonsense. And that's the best they can do. And these are people paid to do that. Like, the people at BAFTA, leading the video game part of BAFTA, but also their agency, are paid to do that. And both of those sets of people said yes to this. And it makes me so cross. And we haven't even got to the awards yet.
We'll be talking about those next week, I'd imagine.
Can't wait.
All right.
I will not be watching.
Time for the letters.
Email, messages, and forward BCC. Army Life Letters.
Simon, have we had any letters this week? Last 2 weeks.
On the Discord, we have had a couple. Tim writes, "Dear team, happy Easter. I've been celebrating the resurrection of a Middle Eastern gentleman approximately 2,000 years ago by attacking beetles and other insects with little flower-based creatures. Now that Pikmin 4 has been out for some months, I'm finally playing Pikmin 3, and it is fantastic. The day-long time limits work really well at compelling you through the game without the stressful overall limit of the first game in the series. 7 out of 10. If you were a Pikmin, which type would you be? I think I'd go for yellow."
Good question. I've never played Pikmin.
I've never played Pikmin
because I've always been put off by the time limit, and it's really interesting. Tim said that, like, and my first thought was like, "Oh, that sounds good," and then the second thought was, "Ah, oh, but there's still a day long time limit. I don't know how that works." But I am interested in, you know, Alice has got a Switch now, and so I'm sort of exploring those game dynamics that are safe for her to play and will not compel her to play for a very, very long time. Maybe Pikmin's
maybe
worth looking at.
I hear good things about it, of course. And if we were to take inspiration from Cristiano Ronaldo and create an art project which saw members of the video games industry standing in just their pants, mm-hmm. And photographed that way, and we were, for example, to take ex-managing director of Curve Digital mm-hmm. as one of our candidates, and if he was to have a picture taken of just his pants, Steve, you would see he has a Pikmin tattoo.
I remember you told me about that when we were working out which bits of the Nintendo store we could ignore in Japan. We were like, okay, there's too much here, but that's the Pikmin table, don't need to bother with that. Okay, letter two.
Letter number two from Jonathan Lewis. "Hello team and SSG. It was lovely to hear Hoplite get a mention on the show again. Astonishingly, this game is now over 10 years old. Quite fittingly for a game about plumbing the depths and surviving probably against ridiculous odds, I'm always reminded of OLL every time I play it. I must have played it many thousands of times, but it always feels like there's a new challenge in the game, and just where I feel like I've sussed it out, it encourages me to start to try a new strategy. What tips would you have to someone playing Hoplite for the first time? Cheers, Jonathan in Catford."
Oh, my first tip isn't really a tip, it's more just a sense of envy, like someone playing that game for the first time has a great deal of joy to be experiencing, as the letter mentioned, like just so much to unfold in front of them over a long period of time. You know, it's got a great tutorial. It introduces the game to you step by step. And after that, you explore the sophisticated ways these tiny, tiny core mechanics can move together in a, you know, what to me is the closest a video game has got to replicating chess. So, I don't have any tips. I'm not great at that game at all, but I always, as I've said many times on the show before, go back to it, and I do thoroughly recommend One Life Left listeners check it out if you haven't already.
7 out of 10. We also had a letter in from Simon, as he corresponds every week. He says, "Hi, Brian and Steve. Sorry, I couldn't resist calling you these. Hope you had a good time off." He would like to ask, "What inspired you to start the One Life Left podcast? It's always fascinating to learn about the origins and motivations behind long-running shows like yours. Have a good week, Simon S."
Really good question. And obviously much of this is lost in the mist of time. But the first point I heard of Resonance FM was when a stand-up comedian that I loved and love, a guy called Daniel Kitson, had a show on Resonance, and I was like, this is great, you know, this radio station which covers all kinds of different things and has a kind of esoteric approach to programming. And I'd just come off the back of games journalism, it's 2006, and wasn't writing anymore, but really liked the idea of staying in the loop on all of this sort of stuff. So started talking about setting it up then, pitched the name of the show to Resonance, said, "What if we call it Game Unwatch? So like game and watch, but with no watching. So it's game unwatch, right?" And they said, "Absolutely not." And so One Life Left ultimately was born, and then we got the .com for that. So
take that, secured our cafe in Norwich.
I saw an article. It was not an article. It was a piece this week in The Guardian, which was talking about interesting podcasts this week. You know, obviously scan over it just to see if we've made the cut again. Absolutely hadn't. But it referred to Serial as the OG podcast. And I was like, really? That's the OG for you, is it? When did Serial start?
We were. Do you remember we were in the Standard for alongside Serial?
Yeah, October 3rd, 2014. We'd been doing One Life Left for 8 years. By the time that OG podcast released. Anyway, thanks for your question. Thanks for all your letters.
Thank you.
Three. Let's see if we can keep that going for next week. You can write to One Life Left by emailing
team@onelifeleft.com.
Or you can join the Discord. Just join the Discord and pop your letter in the mailbag. All right, it is One Life Left. It's 2:15. We are approaching the reviews section. I wonder if we've got any other business to talk about before then.
I don't think so, Steve. I don't have any. Do you?
Black Diamond. Talk about Black Diamond, which is the game that I've been developing in and on the radio show over the last, I don't know, what's it been, 6 weeks? Something like that now. It is a puzzle game where you rotate tiles in a kind of match three style way, except for your objective is to make diamonds. I was really surprised the mechanic worked as well as it did early in development, and quite pleased. And I was like, right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just make this, I'm going to push it onto itch, and I'm going to be done with it. But I didn't do that. I started adding things, and now I am in the world where the game has become a proper game, and slightly too big for me, but I'm still enjoying developing it. I'm developing it in the evenings and at the weekends, and I try to push a new version to the One Life Left Discord on Saturdays, Wednesdays as well. Shipped one last night, actually, on Sunday, which now has a game structure in it. You can start the game. You will begin with 0 black diamonds. You will receive an opportunity to get up to 3 black diamonds in the daily challenges every day, and then more if you go onto the planets, the various series of planets where you can mine diamonds on those every 10 levels. And there are, I think, 4 or 5 different types of planet where there are different rules that come in. So those kind of match three modifiers, like you have tiles that take slightly longer to break, or other ones that are more fragile, or that kind of thing. Some of those mechanics work better than others. The whole game needs a lot of balancing, and it is rough around the edges, but it is playable. So if you go to the One Life Left Discord, we have a channel just for it, so you can mute that now, as as I'm sure most people have. And you can download the APK, which will run on your Android phone, or you can find the URL there. I haven't password protected it yet because I haven't worked out how to do that. But soon I will, Simon. And soon, better than that, we will move to a test flight and a Play Store build where you can subscribe to it and you'll be pushed the updates. Although you won't be pushed the latest password, which will be only available on the radio show.
I haven't played it for a while. I've just opened up Discord to download it, and it says it's potentially dangerous download.
It is. Dangerously addictive.
Exactly. All right, I will get it. In fact, it's not letting me download it.
I think iOS users can use it.
Trust stecurran.com links from now on.
I'm going to move that to One Life Left, I think. So I think iOS users can run it in a browser on their phone as well, where changing your name may not work. And I think Android users can as well if they don't want to download the APK, which I would understand why you don't want to give One Life Left permission to access your files.
Good. All right. I will check it out. Look forward to seeing the progress you've been making, Steve. And one day I hope to officially rate it in the review section.
Good intro, Simon. All right, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing a lot of different games, but the one game I played an awful lot of, you know, so I was on a plane, wasn't I? I've been on a couple of planes recently, well, four planes, actually, and I've loaded up my ROG Ally for the long-haul flight, and then I decided to pop back to the Switch for the short haul, and, you know, I didn't want to take the Ally on holiday. It's had enough time to wait, so it's time to rekindle my relationship with the Switch. So I had Mario Wonder with me. I had Super Mario RPG, a couple of other games I'd bought but not played. I was looking forward to that. But just before I went, I thought, okay, I mean, I have played it on PC, but not for very long. I'll just buy Balatro and stick that on the Switch and see how we get on with that. And I was away for 8 nights and I started playing it on the flight on the way out there. And I did not stop playing it at all.
That was my fear, Simon, for you and moment, for me.
Well, at any moment I had to play a little bit of downtime, picked up the Switch and off we went again. And it's really weird, though, right? Because, I mean, it's clearly great, right? And it's clearly compulsive because I could not stop playing it. And when you load the game up, it has a series of sort of standard decks that you then unlock more decks by beating these decks at certain base difficulties and all that sort of stuff. And each of them plays slightly differently or what have you. So I did them all. I've unlocked all the basic decks by beating all the basic decks. I can't tell you that I enjoyed it, though, at all. It's really, really weird in that, yeah, I just felt like an obligation on my part to do, like almost as if I was in a trance.
Yeah, that's idle games. That's what it is. You're clicking buttons, you're watching the numbers go up, you're feeling some satisfaction from unlocking things, tidying the systems up, but it's not making you happy.
It didn't make me happy. And what was, I don't know, what was most unusual about it, I think, was that, you know, it's builders, Slay the Spire meets poker or what have you. It's a deck builder based around poker mechanics, but with all these sort of other scoring systems. You can have like a hand score and then a multiplier, and then you apply jokers and planets and spectral cards and all this sort of stuff. So much of it is governed by what you encounter along the way, the jokers, that it's impossible. You have to adapt how you're playing every run, and then more times than not, your run will end because of something you decided to do in one hand or one ante, you know, 6 hands ago, will suddenly just be completely negated by a boss, in inverted commas. That means that you just you fail and then you start again. And then you hope that that doesn't happen before. And it didn't feel good. But I still kept on playing.
I gotta say, like, this thing you're describing here is very similar to some of the stuff in Black Diamond at the moment, in that it feels you are solving problems, but sometimes you find yourself up against a problem that you have made for yourself a long time ago. But still, when it resets, you're like, oh, I'll just try it again, because this time I'll go a different avenue. And it is compulsive and...
You know, I haven't done everything on it. It's got daily runs and challenges, and, you know, you can modify the basic decks and get all this different stuff. But I do think now I'm home, back into the warm embrace, my ally, I think I'm going to leave it be. 7 out of 10.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Of course you have. What on earth prompted you to do that?
So Alice is really into Greek myths. Have I mentioned this on the show before?
I don't think so, no.
So into Greek myths that the other night, you know, she sleeps downstairs, go upstairs to the living room, and the other night, as she's going to sleep, you know how most children, like, you'll have that, you put them down, and then there'll be the sort of, the one last scare, sort of, daddy, I need the toilet, or daddy, you know, I need a new book, or you know. The other day...
my toe is hot.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. Daddy, you know, I don't feel well, blah, blah, blah. The other day, she shouted up, Daddy! Daddy, it is said that mortal men cannot cheat destiny. Which is exactly the sort of thing I wanted to be thinking about for the rest of the night.
Oh, of course.
Night.
Yeah,
perfect. So she's massively into Greek myths. She's reading books about she's got loads of books. She listens to a Yoto card every night. That's just some jobbing Shakespearean actor going through old Greek legends. So when she has a nightmare, she puts that on in the middle of the night and it just talks about men running through monsters with swords and blood gushing everywhere. And she's fine with that. We'll come back to her fears in a second. But she's really into Greek myths. And so I was like, is there any way we can explore that with video games? And I remembered that Assassin's Creed Odyssey has a tour mode where you can turn off the gameplay and instead wander around ancient Greece and go to islands. And it was great. It was absolutely fantastic for that purpose, that we got to wander around some of the islands. She's like, oh, let's go to the Temple of Hera. Oh, look, that's one of those things that she was telling me, like kids do when they become obsessive over things. She was informing me, oh, no, that's, you know, that's where Heracles did this, and that's Hermes and all this. So it's really, really great experience. 7 out of 10. But on the subject of her fears, we've also been playing Animal Crossing. Now, I don't know if you remember the story from a year ago when we were playing Dreamlight Valley. And Alice managed to break the whole system because she wouldn't go down to the beach because she was scared of Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And so all of these quests, which are designed to keep you on a treadmill and unlock things bit by bit with different characters at different stages, all of them had you going down to the beach to get some crabs or to, you know, go to the sea or do some fishing or whatever. They all had you going down to the beach, but Alice would just be like, no, I'm not doing it. And so the game just ground to a halt. You couldn't do anything more in that because of her fear. She's really enjoying Animal Crossing, but similarly, at the start of the game, you have to build the shop for Tom Nook, and you have to do that by getting wood, and you get wood by chopping down trees or hitting trees with your axe at least. And then there is a small chance that a hive of angry wasps will drop, and the wasps will chase after you, and it's inevitable pretty much unless you use the net with some skill that Alice does not yet have. You will get stung. And she is so scared of it. So scared of it that she will scream when it happens. She won't do the wood hunting. She won't go and get the wood now. And that means she can't build the shop. And that's slowing down progress in this. The thing that worries me is this has actually now impacted her real life, I think, in that we were outside the other day and she saw a couple of flies and started screaming. Though she was like, wasps, 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 which has obviously come from Animal Crossing. And this game that I thought was going to be a positive influence on her life has actually, you know, genuinely negatively and psychologically affected her in the real world, which isn't great. Now, I said in response to her shrieking at the flies, oh, well, if this is how Animal Crossing is affecting you, I guess we have to stop playing Animal Crossing. And now she's fully into flies. She's like, oh, look, flies, they're so cute. Oh, I love flies. Excellent. So maybe it's not all that bad. But it was an interesting couple of weeks in the light of kids playing video games. 7 out of 10 to both.
Good stuff.
That's the radio show. It's been good to see you again, Simon.
Yes, nice to see you too. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, if you are listening to this live on One Life Left, if you are listening to this live on Resonance FM, make sure to check out Resonance's other shows. If you listen to our podcast as well, you'll hear a little intro. So do subscribe to the podcast as well as becoming a Resonance FM super fan. It is vitally important to all creators of all kinds of work that you let other people know as well. So please tell people you like One Life Left, tell people you like Resonance. Spread the word, and then we'll see you in the letters section. Right, but until next week, that's been OLL.
Don't look at the sun, okay?
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
Don't look at the sun or the moon in front of the sun, right? You can hurt your eyes.
Good advice. See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.